Chapter 5, 251. Nairo knocked on the door of Cor Faron's chamber and waited, casting a glance over his shoulder at his companion. Hu Ossis was the appointed spokeswoman of the Taranthians, one of those who had roused the slaves at the dimly heard words of Lorgar, filled with a zealous fire by the oratory of the bearer of the word. Even now she had an agitated, wild manner about her as she gazed in awe at her surrounds.
"This is the sanctum," Hu Ossis whispered, "where Lorgar and Cor Faron commune."
Nairo nodded, not sure whether to laugh at this or be afraid of the newcomer's fervour. A day and a half had passed since they had freed themselves from the mine, a wearying time in which they had trekked into the deserts to elude any potential pursuit from the forces of the Covenant. Dust caked the half-naked body of Hu Ossis, her broken fingernails filled with dirt, hair matted with sweat and sand. Bathing was unthinkable. Such water as they had was needed to drink. Opening the door, Cor Faron was a picture of similar dishevelment. His cheeks and chin were stubbled, as was his head, and streaks of grime marked his hands and arms where he had washed in dirty water. He looked at Nairo as if noticing a bug crawling upon the deck, and then turned his dismissive gaze to Hu Ossis.
"Who is it?"
Lorgar asked from within the chamber. "Let them in."
"Nairo, I'm one of our new brethren,"
Cor Faron said, stepping back. His irritation at playing the part of doorman to former slaves marked clearly in his expression. Lorgar was sat in a large chair, fashioned for his bulk, beside the cot that was serving as a desk for a variety of tomes and papers arranged carefully on the folded sheet. Nairo saw several parchments covered in the neat cuneiform he knew to be Lorgar's script. Looking to the shelf, he saw more, several dozen, in fact. At Cor Faron's insistence, Nairo and others had embroidered the glyphs of priesthood on the grey acolyte robes of Lorgar to symbolise his rise to that rank, though no ordaining of the covenant had occurred. In scarlet and cerulean, along hem and cuff and upon the chest, the symbols of the orthodoxy of Varadesh had been replaced with symbols devised by Lorgar himself, declarations of the truth as the prophet of the One and the bearer of the word. Nairo bowed his head in supplication, while Hu Ossis fell to her knees, forehead pressed to the flaking grey paint on the metal floor.
"Forgive this intrusion into your studies, bearer of the word," began Hu Ossis.
Lorgar looked at Nairo with a questioning frown. Nairo shrugged in reply. The ways of the Taranthians were not his responsibility.
"We have a boon to ask of you, speaker of the truth."
"Ask it," said Lorgar, setting aside his auto-stylus to put his hands in his lap. "And please, get up." 252. Hesitantly, Hu Ossis regained her feet, hands clasped to the simple rope belt that held her skirt at the waist. The cudgel of a Covenant mine guard hung at her hip, carried more as a trophy than a weapon.
"There are 5,000 of us that fled Taranthus, learned once," she said. "Though we brought such water and rations as we were able in the time we had to depart, our supplies are perilously low. I wondered if you might tell us how long we must endure until we reach where we are going."
Lorgar looked at Cor Faron to answer.
"Another 2 days, if you can keep up," said the Archdeacon of the Truth. "We head for Miesin, where Covenant thugs oversee plantations of cotton and flax. 10,000 labour beneath their whips in the fields and mills to spin yarn and weave linen for the impious hypocrites of Varadesh. A ripe harvest for the bearer of the word."
At this, Hu Ossis looked dismayed and held her hands to her face.
"We have not the food nor water for such a journey, great leaders," she said, looking imploringly from Cor Faron to Lorgar. "The desert is no place to feed 5,000 mouths."
"What would you have us do?"
snapped Cor Faron. He waved a hand towards the loaves and ewers set on a table beside Lorgar.
"Conjure food and wine for the meagre supplies we have for ourselves."
"I can do without for a while," said Lorgar. He reached towards the platter.
"Even your appetite does not match that of 5,000,
countered Cor Faron.
"The powers do not give their boons freely. as much as we call them gifts. Their gratitude is earned through ordeal and proving one's faith.
Lorgar nodded sadly, withdrawing his hand while his gaze settled upon Hugh Ossis. My archdeacon is right. This is no path to be trodden by the weak-willed. 2 days. At Miassin we will pause, and you shall drink at the wells and feed at the trenches of the Covenant. Share what you have, as you deem fitting. Pray, and know that your actions take you closer to the truth. Those the powers judge worthy will survive. He returned to his books, silently dismissing his audience. Hugh Ossis nodded numbly and withdrew with shuffling steps, muttering thanks to the bearer of the word for his wise counsel. 253. Nairo stood at the threshold, aware of the contemptuous look that Cor Pharaon directed at him.
You have something else to say? Asked the archdeacon.
If he was ever to speak up, to test the new-founded supposed egalitarian ideology of the One, now was as good a time as any.
Lorgar, we have supplies in the caravan that we could share with the Taranthians. The nomads can hunt.
His voice trailed away as he noticed that the bearer of the word was sitting immobile, his gaze distant, the only movement being the breath in his chest.
Another long noon and post-noon at most. That is all they will gain from it, said Cor Pharaon. The painful decisions must still be made. The testing must still be undergone. What are you staring at?
The archdeacon turned, and his mood changed instantly, his belligerence draining away to be replaced with something like sorrow. Anger quickly returned as Cor Pharaon shoved Nairo out of the door.
Leave!
What is he doing?
Cor Pharaon's voice dropped to a harsh whisper.
Communing with the One! Leave us! Speak not of this to anyone else, or brotherhood or not, I shall see your skin hanging as a flag from the mast!
The door slammed in Nairo's face a moment before he heard a muffled low moaning, swiftly followed by indistinct words of comfort from Cor Pharaon. Dismayed, Nairo retreated along the companionway, unsure what to think of the episode. 254. To see someone as vital, so physically imposing as Lorgar in pain, was dreadful. The bearer of the word clasped his hands to his temples, eyes screwed shut, jaw clenched as he rocked back and forth on his chair. Cor Pharaon didn't even know what he was saying. He just let a stream of words fall from his lips, hoping Lorgar could hear them. Offering comfort and support, though it looked as though the powers drove hot nails into Lorgar's brain. A test, he reminded himself. All accomplishment was achieved through adversity. Pain was the wage of the mortal, the price paid on the route to immortality. With a last grunt, Lorgar straightened and opened his eyes, his gaze still glassy and distant. Now came the reward, and the smile that crept across his face was sublime, the pleasure so infectious that Cor Pharaon could not help but grin to witness it. It seemed even more intense than on previous occasions. He picked up one of the water ewers and stood ready. Lorgar shuddered visibly, and his soul returned to the senses of the mortal shell in which it normally resided. Cor Pharaon could not imagine what these travels into the Empyrean were like to experience, and Lorgar had been oddly reluctant in his discussions. Now he looked at his archdeacon with a glint in his eye, an energy Cor Pharaon had not seen since he had decided to take on the Covenant at Taranthus.
"We are vindicated, Father," said Lorgar.
In these vulnerable moments, he lapsed into the patriarchal appellation, but Cor Pharaon was used to it now and let it pass unremarked. Lorgar took the water with a grateful nod and downed the contents. He grinned more widely.
The powers have sent me a new vision.
New?
Cor Pharaon asked the question lightly, but the declaration set his heart fluttering. The first vision had set them on this course towards confrontation with the Covenant. Was Lorgar about to change his mind, to speak of a new destiny?
Not a vision of the One.
He was there, as before, gold and light personified. Another was with him.
The One have become The two? A magus, robed in blue, like the drawings of the ancient shamans, with a single eye gazing with the brightness of the powers, seeing all. A golden god and a wise man, said Corpheron. Vindication indeed! The powers assert the truth again, assuring us that we tread the path. You will be the golden one, and I the magus.
I think that is so, said Lorgar, laying a hand on Corpheron's shoulder. The priest trembled at the thought, and tears misted his vision.
I had always believed.
He knelt, holding Lorgar's massive hand in his.
I knew that I did the work of the powers. Others scorned me, but still I knew that the truth would be known. Through you, Lorgar, it shall be.
Through us, said Lorgar. We must preach the word of the One, and the truth will return to Colchis. And I shall be Archdeacon of the Covenant, thought Corpheron, risen to my rightful station as Lord of Varadish.